coalition forces are moving to secure those oil fields and port facilities in southern Iraq. So far, they have followed a different script from what the Pentagon had suggested for the start of the war. Michael Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
What happened to the shock and awe strategy of massive air attacks the Pentagon had led us to expect at this point?
Well, it's a good question. I guess the intelligence about Saddam Hussein's potential whereabouts is the main explanation for why they decided to go with the decapitation strike first. And after that was undertaken, the whole shock and awe concept, you sort of had lost the shock. And so I guess people rethought the basic strategy. I think it was smart to do that. You want to take a shot at Saddam if you can. And also, I doubt how much shock you really would have caused the Iraqis. They've been getting pummeled by American air power and British air power for 12 years. And so I'm not sure they would be so impressed by a couple thousand bombs falling around Baghdad. It would have been worth trying if that was an easy way and a proper way to start the war, but there was no great harm done in revising the battle plan at the last minute.
If I saw Marines coming at me on the ground, I'd be shocked and awed myself.
Well, that's a fair point. And I think we also should look for the U.S.-U.K. ground forces to be a very big part of this war. There's an ongoing debate whether air power has become even more dominant. And I think that when you're talking about urban combat, whatever progress in technology we've seen is not as great as the sheer fact that the simple fact that going after people in the city requires boots on the ground. And even going after these Iraqi forces near Basra requires ground forces. And they're doing a fantastic job from what we can tell.
Well, it looks like they're trying to secure the oil fields, but they could be doing something else, too, perhaps cutting off supply lines.
Yes, and I think they're also getting in position to move on Basra and to begin, you know, to have their supply lines catch up with them. It's going to be, as you know, a remarkably long journey up to Baghdad. And so every 50 and 100-mile head start that you can get is good. And so even if the immediate objective is to see some of these oil fields, if it leaves them closer to Baghdad after the operation, then it's getting us towards our real objective as well.
You get Basra, you get the main port.
That's right. And, of course, there have been commando raids that have seized some of the oil facilities. And so I think many of the objectives in southeastern Iraq are important in their own right. But on top of that, we're now getting a head start towards Baghdad, and I think that makes perfect sense.
Well, in the north, there are reports U.S. special forces have taken control of some of the oil fields near Kirkuk in northern Iraq. How significant is that?
Well, it would be fantastic news if true. That would be by far the most daring part of the war so far, I think, because, of course, those forces would run the risk of sort of the bridge too far syndrome, the famous World War II story where American forces got beyond their supply lines and their ability to sustain an offensive. And you'd have to worry about American forces being isolated way up there. Even though we have some greater access now through Turkish airspace, it's clearly a place where any small light American force is going to have to cope on its own for a while. And so if we've actually pulled this off and inserted these forces and they've managed to seize their objectives already, then that's a big sigh of relief.
And reports indicate that Iraq's forces in the south may have been cut off from commanders in Baghdad, and that might mean the command structure would collapse.
That's possible, although I'm more dubious about that. I think that in the Gulf War, you know, we bombed, of course, for 40 days, and we had laser-guided bombs and very accurate weaponry back then, and yet Saddam managed to retain some level of communication with his forces in the field. So I think perhaps we're seeing more of a political fragility to the Iraqi leadership now, but I'm not sure we could really physically cut them off from Saddam.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Michael Hanlon is Senior Fellow in Foreign Policy Studies at the Brookings Institution.